Avril, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. And the sun's just starting to come out in Newcastle this morning.
Thank you, Avril, for proving that I do know what I'm talking about when it comes to all things meteorological, even though Jim is having a go at me because it's a bit damp in his back garden. Avril Hall Callaghan, when you were a teacher, Avril, did they call you Miss Hall Callaghan?
No, Miss Hall.
Oh, Miss Hall. You never taught when you were Hall Callaghan.
No, you were too busy
with union duties for the Ulster Teachers Union. You're having your conference at the moment, and you're particularly concerned about teachers who may be facing accusations from pupils. And the system at the moment, if a teacher is in a classroom and is accused by a pupil of something untoward, what's the procedure?
Well, in normal cases, the school would investigate if there are allegations against the teacher. Our concern is that in recent times, children are going home telling their parents something has happened, and the parent, rather than referring back to the school to check the veracity of their story, are going straight to either social services or the police. And then the full weight of the child protection legislation comes into force, and the teacher may well find himself suspended from school for quite a protracted period of time while investigations go on.
Regardless of what the accusation is?
Yes, absolutely, yes. I mean, it's a very heavy-duty procedure, and rightly so in that, you know, there are cases where it is absolutely applicable. But sometimes it goes wrong, and that's where we want to sit down with the department, with police, with social services, and try and work out a better system where the teacher can be held as innocent until there are signs that the teacher may be guilty.
Obviously, if a teacher is in a classroom and there's only one pupil there for some reason, maybe doing a bit of homework, and the teacher comes over and puts his hand on the pupil's leg, that's straight to the police. You understand exactly why a family would go to the police. But if you have a situation where the teacher raises the voice to the pupil simply because there's an air of frustration in the room, and the parent goes straight to social services about that, it must be very difficult for the teacher in those circumstances. Yet and all, the teacher shouldn't be seen in any capacity to be a bully.
Absolutely. And that actually, what you've described there is something that has, you know, been a situation that has happened. In fact, we have had children who have gone home and complained about teachers because they had done something wrong in school and the teacher had told them off, and they were scared that the teacher would then tell their parents. So they get the preemptive blow-in and they go home, they embroider a story, and the next thing the teacher knows, they are suspended. And the impact of that on families can be devastating, because once social services are involved, not only is the teacher under scrutiny, their whole family is under scrutiny. And we have had situations where parents have been told that they cannot have other children in to play with their children in the house while the investigation is ongoing.
It is pretty stark when you describe it like that. There have been examples through history of teachers overstepping the mark and being a disgrace to themselves, their family and their profession. And those teachers have to be rooted out. The bottom line is children have to be protected.
And we would acknowledge that totally, Frank. But what we're talking about here are the situations where the whole rigour of the child protection legislation is invoked before anybody has had a proper chance to look at the situation and see are the circumstances as the child describes.
So you'd be calling on parents, if they have a problem with a teacher, to speak to the teacher or to speak directly to the head teacher?
Absolutely. And can I stress...
Which would you do first if you were worried and you were genuinely concerned and you were thinking, my kid, Jimmy or Josephine's not actually making this up, there's something in this. Should you go to the head teacher?
I would say that is a very good first point of contact, because a principal knows exactly what is going on in their school. And if something needs to be drawn to their attention, then that's the route to take. We're just concerned that things are somehow being hijacked outside the school, and, you know, they lead to a bad place for a lot of teachers.
At the moment, for example, with the Catholic Church, if a priest has an accusation against him, he is immediately stood down. He's there. It doesn't matter what the accusation is. It doesn't matter whether there's any substance to it. They've learned from the shameful past, and sadly, as a result, some innocent gentlemen are suffering at the moment, because all you need is an accusation and you're stood down, and they have to live with that accusation. Is it something similar that you're worrying about as far as the teachers are concerned?
Absolutely, because people sometimes think, oh, no smoke without fire. And it's very difficult for a teacher who has had spurious allegations against them, once they're disproved, to go back into the school, maybe sometimes after 2 years at home. Now, what we are looking for is a system whereby the teacher could maybe be allocated other duties, either within the school or at another educational establishment. Now, that, in theory, is supposed to happen, but in practice, we need to look at ways that it can actually happen.
What are some of the main deficiencies that a teacher would show? What are the, there's a much better word for it, if I could grasp it out of the ether, but mainly what are teachers accused of? It's not always going to be something that has a sexual overtone, but if a teacher is suspended, people sense that maybe there was a sexual overtone to it, and that must be very difficult to live with. So what are teachers being accused of?
Well, I don't want to go into individual cases because obviously, you know, there are quite a number of suspended teachers at the moment, but typically it could be something like raising their voice to a child and the child misinterprets it and takes home a different story. There's a whole range of situations where this happens.
Are there teachers who may be suspended? I'm not speaking about individuals, but are there teachers who face suspension in this day and age because they actually physically strike a pupil? Or do they know that you don't do that?
Well, most teachers know that they cannot lay a hand on a pupil nowadays. But that's not to stop some pupils saying that they have. And as I said earlier, quite often it's a defence for the pupil. You know, if they've done something wrong, then, you know, they can, you know, make up stories.
Now, but I'm trying to visualise on behalf of the listeners what other difficulty a teacher would find himself, mainly him, but sometimes herself, in. Because, yes, if you raise your voice and the child feels it's being bullied, it's easy for the child to say, I'm being bullied. This has to be reported, and off they go. But if there's a sexual connotation or a physical abuse connotation, it's going to be witnessed by a significant number of people. And if there are no witnesses, well, then the teacher should never be alone with a pupil, either to be accused of some sort of sexual impropriety or indeed any form of physical abuse.
Yes, and that's
surely it'd be very hard. But some teachers must be getting themselves into a position where they're one-on-one with that kid who complains about them.
No, not necessarily. And that's why I'm saying we need a full internal investigation before it ever goes external, because there are some of these incidents where teachers have been suspended and there are plenty of witnesses around. So, you know, we do need a better system to deal with these kind of complaints. And can I stress, Frank, that this is a very, very small number of teachers who are accused in this way. Very, very small. The vast majority of parents and indeed children are responsible adults and children, and they do not make these kind of allegations. It's a very, very small minority who do, but they cause a disproportionate effect to that teacher's life and career.
Let's presume a 14-year-old girl wrongly accuses a 25-year-old male teacher, and after a number of months and an investigation and a considerable amount of heartache for the 25-year-old gentleman, he's back in full-time employment with people sort of looking over their glasses at him as he walks up the corridor, and he's going off to his classroom, and that 14-year-old girl is sitting there in the third row looking up at him, chewing her chewing gum. Does he have to teach her?
He does, and you know that's the way things are. And
why does he have to teach her? She has wrongly accused him.
But she's entitled to her education, and teachers are very good at turning the other cheek. It may be very difficult for him to go back into that situation, and he certainly wouldn't want to find himself in a situation where he was one-to-one with that particular pupil, or indeed any pupil. But at the end of the day, teachers are trained to teach, and that is what they will do.
Even if someone has lied to ruin their reputation and their good name?
Now, obviously, there may be some scope for moving the child into a different class, but that would have to be left at the discretion of the principal in consultation with the teacher.
And does the parent have any involvement in this?
Well, ultimately, it is the school's decision as to where they place pupils. And, you know, obviously the parents may be brought into the discussion on it.
Now, we are, of course, reminding everyone listening to the programme that there are genuine complaints from aggrieved children that are upheld. That is vital to
Absolutely.
Remind people that yes. that exists. And
Absolutely.
Children should never hesitate about coming forward if they feel they need to come forward. But we're
Indeed.
putting the spotlight at the moment on the sort of family who will look for bother. They think, right, let's complain about this because there might be money in this, or we can get him back by absolutely embarrassing him or her. It would drive people away from the profession if there were only a couple of families in your school who had a mindset like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we do face the problem of a lot of young men not going into teaching for that very reason nowadays. I mean, the profession is very much female dominated. And there are suggestions that that's one of the reasons that young men are scared of putting themselves in that position.
Well, can you give me any examples of, and I'm not looking, for, I'm not talking about individual cases, but the people who are listening are only aware really of raised voices or some form of hitting which isn't allowed, or indeed the most drastic situation where an adult oversteps the mark sexually with a child. There must be other examples of where teachers have genuinely tried to do something which proved to be the wrong thing.
Well, as I said earlier, Frank, I don't want to go into individual cases, and to start going down that pathway, you might identify somebody, so I really can't. I think you've covered the categories, you know, that are typical.
Well, I read a story in the paper about a situation in England yesterday where a teacher, an unruly child, very young, was carried out of the classroom by the teacher out to the playground to calm the kid down. And that teacher got into serious difficulty because the child was carried.
Yes, absolutely. We had a case very similar to that before Christmas. Now, it didn't result in suspension, thankfully. But, you know, that's the kind of situation that teachers are in day and daily, and that can be misinterpreted and can turn it into something that, you know, is career changing for them.
So it is the difficult side of teaching, which is, of course, need to say, a very rewarding profession. But you've got to be thinking ahead all the time. And if you are thinking ahead, you're seeing children as a potential threat as opposed to seeing them as a blessing that are sitting there in front of you. You know, children are wonderful. Children are, we all agree on that. You know, children are
yes.
a joy to be around. But if you're carrying out your duties as a professional, and in the back of your mind you're thinking there are threats within this classroom, and these are only very young children, it must make it difficult if that's to the fore in your mind as you carry out your duties, your professional duties.
I think the vast majority of teachers do not have that uppermost in their mind. But then when it does happen to them, that's when it comes as a huge shock, because the vast majority of teachers assume that their children are going to be loyal to them and not make spurious allegations. And as I say, when it does happen, then it is devastating.
Avril, thanks for your time this morning. Thank you. Avril Hall Callaghan is the General Secretary of the Ulster Teachers Union. Their conference is on in Newcastle, where the sun is shining. Have you